Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Well, I need to change hats because this hour is brought to you by Crazy Water, so I got to put on my Crazy Water hat. It actually says Famous Water, but same company. And it's the water that I recommend. Really, the more I use it and the more I learn about it, the more impressed I am. It really is a natural health drink, and it has just a whole lot of health benefits. Water, whichever one you buy, there's four different levels of mineral content in the water from Crazy Water from the springs over in Mineral Wells, Texas. And you need to, if you haven't tried the products, you need to, especially if you're in the North Texas area where you're real close by. But they ship it as well. They also have the mineral spas now back open, and so those of you in the area need to look into that. I'm going to be doing that myself right away. We're going to get right back to the phone lines. We've got people there. If you want to jump on here later, it's 866-444-3478. I started talking about bed preparation a little bit, and I wanted to finish up there. The bed preparation that I recommend, and it one of the questions that came in on Facebook is related to this, and that is, well, do I recommend perlite? And I started talking about the fact that I don't recommend peat moss. I really don't recommend perlite. I really think that it's okay, but it's real high in fluoride, and some people are allergic to it. It's a processed product. It's real light and all that, but I like lava sand. I like other kind of mineral rocks. I like lava sand. I like granite, green sand I put in that category, zeolite I put in that category. There's a lot of other minerals that rock minerals on the market that are good and better for potting soil and for bed preparation than is peat moss, a perlite, vermiculite, all those kinds of things. Vermiculite's okay. It's expensive, and some of the other things we recommend are better. Bed preparation we recommend for vegetables, flowers, landscaping is all pretty much the same. The more difficult the plant is to grow, the more of the amendments and more careful you have to be about your bed preparation. And it depends on what part of the country you're in and how lousy your soil is that you're starting with. We have in Texas a lot of black clay soils on top of white rock. Other people have in East Texas and other parts of the country have sand, real sandy soils. Those are actually harder to get productive than the clays are because the clays are basically missing air and organic matter in a lot of cases and have a lot of nutrients that become available once you get the physics of the soil improved to a degree. So whether it's sand or clay, we recommend the same basic ingredients. Compost instead of peat moss, rock materials that I just mentioned instead of perlite and vermiculite, and then sugar. And sugar is kind of omitted from the people that still don't have any problem with the toxic chemical and synthetic fertilizer approach. The sugars are very, very important, especially on the front end. And sugars can be provided with just plain white sugar, with molasses, which is what we use more than anything. Cornmeal is in this category because it converts to sugar so efficiently. If you can get wheat mids, rather than eating them, I'd recommend that you put them in the soil. That conversion, again, real quickly to sugars and fats, if you're eating it, is why it works so well in the soil on the front end to stimulate biological activity. And then you mix all that material, those three things, organic materials, like good quality compost, rock materials, and the sugars. You mix all that into the existing soil and then plant away. Organic fertilizers can be added. Your fertility program long-term there can be as simple as what I use now and have for several years, dry molasses and Garrett Juice Plus that has the fish in it. Or better still, get the soil test done from somebody that does organic recommendations like Texas Plant and Soil Lab, and then fine-tune your program after getting that information. And let's see what else was related to that that I promised to talk about. I guess that was pretty much it. Let's get back to the phones. If you've got a question on any of that, of course, call in and we'll talk about it. 866-444-3478. Deborah in Dallas. Next up. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
Doing well.
You mentioned in the past how to cover a garden for the winter, and I know it included newspaper, but that's the only thing I remember.
Well, there's a couple of possibilities here. I think what you're alluding to is what I recommend for weed control, and it's a good one, of just covering to protect plants from the cold is kind of a different subject, and I recommend the floating row covers primarily for that. They're remarkable. They're a synthetic, lightweight spun material that lets the light through, but it keeps the cold winds off the plants. It actually, in the early spring, helps to keep insects away from plants too. But it gives you about 4 to 6 degrees winter protection when you put it over potted plants or over row crops or tender flowers or whatever you use it for. So that's the cold protection covering that I recommend. It's called generically floating row cover. And in that category, there's probably about 10 different brand names. And we cover several of them on the website. You can go, I think we did a newsletter about it some years ago, and it's in the library under floating row cover. The other one that you suggested is what we use to control some really tough to control weeds. It'll control Bermuda grass. It'll control nut grass to a great degree. And all the rest of the broadleaf weeds and grasses, it controls very well. What you do is on bare soil, and you can do it around existing plants, or you can do it on a brand new bed, or you can do it on a bed that's fallow and waiting to be planted later on. It's just that you have to have some open space to be able to do it. You first put down some dry molasses, and then you put a thin layer of compost, a good quality compost, maybe quarter of an inch up to a half inch, and then you wet all that down. And then on top of that, you put layers of paper, and that's probably what you remember hearing me say. And you can use newspaper. There is the possibility of heavy metals in the ink. That's getting better all the time because they're starting to use soy-based inks, but not 100% yet. Or you can use a cleaner paper like a butcher paper or just some white print paper before there's any print on it or something like that, and put down 3 to 4 or more layers. It really depends on budget and time. You wet that down, you wet the paper down, and then on top of that, you put shredded native tree trimmings, the best mulch there is.
Right.
And you have shut down the weed production on that area.
Great. And then in the spring, it'll be ready for me to plant my veggies.
It'll be building biological activity and improving all winter for you, and it'll be ready to go in the spring. In fact, it'll be ready to go in the late winter, you know, if you want to go in there and do onions and the a lot of the cool season stuff that we plant really early. Irish potatoes early in the year would love that be planted in that situation, for example.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you, Howard.
Appreciate
it. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay. Bye.
And let's see who's next on this almost Thanksgiving time weekend here. Kent in Little Elm next. Hey, Kent.
Hey, Howard. Happy Sunday.
Yes, sir. You too.
I got a question for you about a greenhouse. But let me back up. I've been listening to you for 3 or 4 years, and I went all organic in my yard.
Good.
And really happy with the results.
Good.
So I decided to try my hand at vegetable gardening, all organic.
Mm-hmm.
I built a little 10 by 12 greenhouse.
Okay.
Dried molasses, sand, everything's mixed in, some black cow. And I planted beans. Just regular green beans, radishes, carrots. And now I seem to have a problem with what I'm calling just weak plants. When I water them, they just kind of lay down. And that just doesn't seem like it should be a normal thing.
Yeah, they do seem like maybe have some weak stems. Can you hold on a minute? We not rush. We'll talk about it when I come back.
Okay.
I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We'll talk with Kent about his veggie situation and anything else you'd like to discuss. Call me at 866-444-3478. Our website for more information anytime, of course, is dirtdoctor.com.
Register today for Howard Garrett's Healthy Living and Growing Seminar. Howard is teaming up with other experts to present growing edible gardens, mosquito control that works, natural pet health, natural remedies for weeds, head lice, foot fungus, and insect bites, nutrition and health, and much more. There will be prize drawings throughout the event, so register today by going to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Healthy Living and Growing Seminar logo or call 866-444-3478. Register at dirtdoctor.com today and have a more successful 2013.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Doctor of Heroes Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Doctor of Heroes Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. truth. Vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth. Animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth. Animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth. Children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth. Children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And Kent, I think, is patiently waiting. Kent, you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Having trouble with vegetables, just not being able to stand up quite as well, like the stems are not strong enough. Give me a real quick background on what your bed preparation was and fertilization.
Well, I've got pretty dense clay. I mixed in, probably a dozen 2-cubic-foot bags of compost, 4 or 5 bags of black cow manure, part of a bag of it's a Medina product. It's dried molasses and another thing. It's kind of a white flaky stuff. I don't remember what it was called.
It may be the dry molasses that has millet in it instead of soy. Maybe what it is. Did you put any rock minerals in, Kent?
Just some sand.
Okay. A lot of times, if you'll put something in that'll have some good potassium availability, it'll help with stem strength quite a bit. And you know what's the best tool there? And it's pretty fast acting too, because it's buffered so well. Is green sand?
Some green sand.
Yeah, green sand is very high in available potassium and other trace minerals as well. It has some organic matter in it, which is the buffering agent, so it works pretty well. I would put some of that in it. If I were you, I would also add some other rock materials. I'd add some zeolite and I'd add some granite. You get a little bit different results from all of those things. But in your case, I think you'd see the most dramatic change to stem quality and just the substance of the plants with the Texas green sand added to the deal. If you haven't done dry molasses yet, I'd recommend it. It's just a great general fertilizer that functions as a stimulant to the biological activity, which will help you with what you're looking at, and also just a general good tonic. And then, of course, Garrett Juice Plus on the foliage and in the soil to build the health of the roots is going to give you results aimed right at what you're seeing also.
So would it be worth putting the green sand in now? I mean, I don't want to till it up and blend it all in.
Just
now,
throw it on the ground like fertilizer and lightly scratch it in, cover it with mulch. It'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes to work quite fast, and some of the things that you've got are going to be tolerating this cool weather, and I think you'll see the benefit pretty quickly.
About how much do you think it would be a good idea to put down?
We normally recommend on green sand something between 40 to 80 pounds per 1,000 square feet, or 4 to 8 pounds, per 100 square feet.
Okay.
Like a real heavy fertilizer application.
Okay.
All right.
I'll give that a try. Thanks.
Let me know.
Okay.
Let's go to, well, I'll tell you what. Let me do a couple things I've been meaning to work in before we go back to the phones. A couple of book things. Matt and I were talking about one that I just finished reading, which I would recommend. And it's a Stephen King book. It's called 11-22-63. That's the name of the book. And it's kind of an interesting name. What is that? Well, that's the date that JFK was assassinated. It's a book about time travel, actually, and it's pretty fascinating. Stephen King did a pretty good job of coming and researching things here in Dallas, and it is a book that I'd recommend that you read. The other one I just started, and it's this one. The name of the book is Team of Rivals, and Doris Kearns Goodwin, one of the best writers there is, has written the book about Lincoln. And of course, Lincoln is the brand new movie that just came out that a lot came from this book. And even though I've just started it, I can tell it's going to be great. Judy and I made the mistake of trying to go to the movie last night, Saturday night, at this time of the year, in a heavy shopping center area, and we had our mind changed pretty quickly as we got there. So we watched one at home instead. I was also asked, it was the talk that I made at the university over in East Texas last week at Northeast Texas Community College. Was that taped and is that available to people? It was not that I know of. They may have at this school. I can check with them about that. The seminar that we're going to have for the members in January, January the 19th, will be taped and available that way. So we'll, you know, keep talking about that. We hope everybody joins. Membership is like $25 a year or something like that. And the seminars and other benefits come along with it that far outweigh that. So we hope you can be available to come in person to Allen, Texas, or to listen to the seminar online. And we're going to have all kinds of things going on. I'm going to be doing several different subjects myself from 10 o'clock in the morning till 4. We'll have some guest lecturers and presenters talking about things that are going to be all over the rainbow about healthy living, from food and nutrition to some farming and ranching kinds of things, pest control, you name it. And I haven't even, you know, finalized what all is going to be there, but I can just tell you it's going to be loaded with just about everything that we talk about and some interesting people there as well. Apparently we're going to have some prizes given away, some drawings and things like that too. So hope you can join us. Well, we'll take a break and then get right back to the phone lines. Telephone number is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. Newsletter is something completely different than being a member of the Organic Club of America. It doesn't cost anything other than you spending the time to send us your email address. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com, and you'll get it every week.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. Egyptian security officials say a senior Israeli official has arrived in Cairo for talks on a ceasefire to end an Israeli offensive in the Gaza Strip. An aide to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in Cairo says there are, quote, serious attempts to reach a ceasefire. President Obama says no country on earth would tolerate missiles raining down on its people. Mr. Obama was asked about the exchange of airstrikes and rocket fire between Israel and Hamas militants. The president says Israel has a right to defend itself, and any effort to resolve the conflict must start with, quote, no missiles being fired into Israel's territory. Mr. Obama says his visit to Myanmar is a chance to congratulate its people for having opened the door to being a country that respects human rights and political freedom. Senator Mark Rubio is telling Iowa Republicans he understands their frustration with the results from Election Day. More details at SRNnews.com.
You have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're offering a risk-free trial of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now can try a risk-free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. We only have a limited supply of risk-free jars, so don't wait. For details, just call 1-800-487-9263. Lumitone makes dark circles less visible in seconds. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. This risk-free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone risk-free offer. Just call 1-800-487-9263. That's 1-800-487-9263. Call 1-800-487-9263.
With Us for Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Kansas State and Oregon may have played themselves right out of consideration for a BCS title game appearance. Top-ranked Kansas State and number 2 Oregon were stunning upset victims Saturday. Baylor jumped out to a 28-7 lead on their way to a 52-24 rout of Kansas State. Baylor coach Art Briles says his team and crowd really came through.
I thought we had a lot of energy, and I thought our crowd was maybe the best crowd I've ever seen since I've been here.
Oregon missed their field goal attempt in the first overtime, but Stanford made theirs as the Cardinal grounded the Ducks 17-14. Stanford linebacker A.J. Tarpley says they kept their emotions under control on the road.
All our guys were hyped, but we also made sure, you know, not get hijacked, emotionally hijacked, and just keep doing your job.
Third-ranked Notre Dame is now the lone unbeaten team of the race for the BCS title game after thumping Wake Forest 38-0. While the 11-0 Irish are expected to vault into number 1 of the BCS, Alabama could be number 2 after their 49-0 win over Western Carolina. Fifth-ranked Georgia beat Georgia Southern 45-14. Could the 10-1 Bulldogs move up to third? We'll see. This is Esser in Sports. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. became the 6th driver to win consecutive championships in NASCAR's Nationwide Series. He finished 6th Saturday in the season finale at Homestead Miami Speedway, edging Elliott Sadler for the title. Chase contenders Brad Keselowski starts 3rd and Jimmy Johnson 10th at the final race of NASCAR's Sprint Cup Series at Homestead Miami Speedway today. Keselowski needs only to finish 15th or better to win his first Cup championship. The NHL and Lockout Players Association are returning to the bargaining table Monday, just 1 week since the last set of failed negotiations. Tonight at a key AFC North matchup, Baltimore plays at Pittsburgh. Ravens linebacker Terrell Suggs is not seeing injured quarterback Ben Roethlisberger cross the line will be unusual.
It's definitely going to be a different feel. But once that whistle blows and the Bullets become live, I don't expect anything less than traditional Ravens Steelers. So, it's going to be that. It's going to be what it is.
Ravens top the division at 7-2. The Steelers are second at 6-3. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you, 866-444-3478. Don in Grapeland next up. Hey, Don.
Good morning, Howard.
What's going on?
I've got 22 20-gallon Schumart oaks I'm going to plant.
All right.
I've got a silty, sandy soil, and the pH is 5.9. I've got 3 weeks to before I receive the trees. How should I prepare the soil surface in the locations of the trees with amendments to increase the pH and help prepare the soil?
Well, you don't need to worry about the pH is the first thing I would say. The true Schumard oak, and there's always a little head-scratching going on about that because those things cross-breed so badly, Don. But in your soil, whatever it is, I think it'll do fine. You could improve the soil if you want to do it, if the budget allows it and everything, by putting out dry molasses and some rock minerals and some cornmeal, just like you would do for bed preparation, but just spread it on the surface of the soil.
Okay.
Probably what I would do, I'd probably do a little dry molasses, and then I'd probably put out shredded tree trimmings mulch over the surface of the soil in that entire area, and then rake it away and plant through it later on. And, you know, you've already got it, the mulch right there handy to finish off the planting properly.
Okay, okay.
That's probably what I'd do if they were mine.
By golly, that's what I'll do.
Okay,
the trees are in a container.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so big that I don't have a tub to put them in to soak them before I plant. I thought I'd dig a hole and put a little Bisqueen or something in there and then soak them in that for, what, 6 to 8 hours?
You don't even need to do it that long unless they're the roots are just really wound into a tight, tight knot.
Okay.
Hopefully that's not the case. If they are soaking that long, maybe necessary so they get hydrated enough for you to, you know, untangle them a little bit before you put them in the ground.
Okay.
If they're not too badly wound around in a knot, just soaking for 30 minutes or so is really enough.
All right. Should I add anything to the water?
A little bit of Garrett juice.
Garrett juice. Okay. Uh-huh. Dig the hole and anything I should put in the hole?
Yeah, the
like
soil that
shale or
the soil that came out of the hole, and that's it.
That's what I just read in your book, but
yeah.
I thought I'd ask.
All the amendments go on the surface of the soil, not down in the hole. We want the we don't want to create a more pleasant environment in the hole than the native soil is, because we want those roots growing out of the hole.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
By the way, I read Team Arrival's fantastic book.
I'm just starting it, and so far so good. She is just a fantastic writer.
She is just unbelievable. Yeah. That's one of the best books I've ever read.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Don. Good luck with your project. Send
thank
us pictures.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and it's a good time to plant trees or woody plants of any kind, a lot of tough perennials. This is the time of the year, and I know it's busy time getting ready for Thanksgiving here this week, and kids in school and football and everything else. I know all the things that can be competitive, but try to allow at least some time for some gardening, and you will be glad that you did. James in Claiborne is next up. Hey, James.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well.
I have a few quick questions.
Okay.
Is there any – we have a few acres outside of, in between Claiborne and Keene, and we have a couple of donkeys, and somebody had told me that their manure was no good in a,
really?
In an organic program. They said it had too much phosphorus in it, I think.
Was this a university person by any chance?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I don't remember who it was, but I haven't spoken to anybody from a university.
Yeah, that's about it. It makes as much sense as somebody saying that the leaves from oak trees are bad to have on the soil because they'll make the soil too acid. You know, if there were any truth to that, the forest would
be
in really bad shape by now, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with donkey manure or zebra manure or any other kind of animal manure. It's the way nature works, is for the manures to go back into the soil to decay and stimulate biological activity and help the soil. If there's any kind of excess element of any kind in, usually what I hear is that phosphorus is too high in some of the manures, and that comes from universities. A&M is really talking about that a whole lot. And it's in an organic program where you got all this buffering going on and everything. It's just not an issue at all. So, no,
should
no
I compost
problem.
It first?
It makes it even better. It neutralizes and buffers it even more if you do that. But it will neutralize itself and buffer itself in the soil. But composting first, any kind of raw material, is always the ideal thing to do.
Okay. Wanted to create some elevated beds to grow blueberry bushes in.
Uh-huh.
And my first thought was to use those kind of those landscape timbers that sort of look like log cabin logs, but I think they're pressure treated.
They are treated, and there's a treatment now that's being used that's not as toxic as it used to be. It used to be called CCA, which stands for copper chromated arsenic.
Yeah.
Arsenate. The arsenic and the chromium are no longer in it, but it's still a copper treatment. And even though copper is a very important trace mineral, like anything, you know, at very extremely low levels, when you get a whole bunch of it, it can become a toxic substance. So there's two reasons I don't recommend treated wood. One is that possibility, and two is wood, even if it's treated, is eventually going to rot.
Right.
So the better way to go is to use Haydite block, you know, cinder block or or concrete stone. There's several different brands and systems on the market. Or real stone. Or the other thing that you can do and have perfect success with it is to simply mound the beds by adding the new amendments that we recommend.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a raised bed. And then on the edge of the bed, you just carve it down at a 45-degree angle. When you've used organic amendments and when you use a good mulch on the top, it'll stay there. It'll stay in place fine.
And those, like blueberries, need a very acid soil, right?
They do, and I was going to ask you that next. What's your soil like there in Claiborne?
Well, it's just awful.
Well, not only is
I was going to just – I saw a thing from A&M that said basically plant them in peat moss.
Well, peat moss is still recommended a lot, and some of the people that we work with use some peat moss along with the compost and everything. If I were doing it myself, I wouldn't spend a dime on peat moss.
Okay.
I would just get a lot of good quality compost and all the other sugars and rock materials that we talk about. I would use Garrett Juice Plus on a very regular basis for foliage in the soil and maybe add a little bit more apple cider vinegar to the formula, because you not only have to deal with the low pH, having a low pH in the soil for blueberries to be happy, you also have to have water that doesn't
right.
have a high pH that
right.
you're irrigating with. So you're going to have to treat the water with apple cider vinegar and or Garrett Juice Plus, which we'd recommend anyway. And if you do all that, you can have some success. The blueberries would be happier if they were in an acid soil situation where the water was neutral to acid. But you can get around all that. You just have to work at it.
Okay. Last question.
One more tip. You mm-hmm. can have a lot better and easier success. And even if you do the blueberries, I recommend this in addition. Grow some blackberries and some raspberries and some other things that are easier to grow.
Yeah, we were going to do that too.
Yeah.
How far away from my house should I put a pecan tree in?
A subjective question, which would get a subjective answer.
I mean, is it an issue for the slab? Is really what all I'm concerned about.
Well, we talk about that a lot, and the answer is, you never know. Houses, very, very expensive houses, have been built around trees.
Right.
You know, where the root system is already under the tree from day one, under the foundation from day one. I have big trees all around my house. Some are as close as 5 feet from the house. There are millions of houses around the world that have trees growing very closely to the property. So is there a possibility that roots can become a problem? Yes. But to totally eliminate that possibility, you have to eliminate all the trees from your property, no matter how close they are, because the roots of trees will develop the most intensely out at the drip line and just beyond the drip line. And to 3 to 4 times farther out than that. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So to keep the trees roots away from your foundation, you're going to have to plant them on somebody else's property. So the answer most people give is stay, you know, 20 or 30 feet away, something like that. But even that distance, the roots are going to get over there to the beam at some point. The best root barrier there is a good quality beam on the house. Roots will hit it and generally turn and go sideways. Rarely do they dip and go under and get under the house. And when they do that, that means there's usually, almost always, a leak or a drainage problem, so that there's lots of moisture under the house. If there's less moisture under the house, in other words, if your foundation is functioning right. properly, they're going to stay outside the beam where there's more moisture and a better environment to live in.
Okay.
So the answer is, who knows? I don't worry about tree roots that much. Can they become a problem? Yes, they can, but in most cases, they don't.
Okay.
All right?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Got an open line at 866-444-3478. Seems like there was one other thing I had forgotten to tell you about earlier, and I'll think about it in a minute. Kyle in Dallas next up. Hey, Kyle.
How you doing, Mr. Carrot?
Pretty good.
Got a question for you on laundry detergents. I seem to remember hearing a long time ago that a mixture of borax and baking soda makes a good natural laundry detergent, but I never did get the proportions, or I don't know if that's actually true anyway.
It might be. You know, borax is something I don't have a big problem with. In fact, we've talked about using it in carpets and things for flea control. There's borate products on the market that are actually labeled for that kind of thing. So using them as a cleaner, I really don't have a big problem with. Baking soda, not any issue at all. We use at our house for cleaning primarily one of the, you know, low phosphate soaps that you get from the stores that sell the more environmentally friendly products, and then we add a little orange oil from time to time into the mix. But what you're talking about there, I have no problem with at all.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate the call. What the exact formula is, I don't know because I haven't done it myself. I'll be back in a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. Well, you've heard me talk about the dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas for some time now, and you're going to continue to because it's the best on the market. My dogs are proof. Hannah, Carmen, and Tater wouldn't eat any other dog food. They might, but I'd have to soup it up with something that tastes really good. This dog food tastes great, and it's really good for them. There are no toxic preservatives in the product and some very high-quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. One of the things I've noticed with my dogs eating Munster Natural is that they don't have any hip or joint problems, hardly ever, and that goes way back to many dogs that have eaten the Munster Natural. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster Natural, ask them to contact Munster Milling at their website, munstermilling.com, about how to get the product into the stores and make the customers happy, mainly making all the pets happy. There's Munster Natural dog food and Munster Natural cat food. Again, that website is munstermilling.com.
Keeping our bones strong and healthy becomes more of a challenge as we age, especially for women. This is Dr. Natalie Engelbart, scientific advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has proven that adding a probiotic supplement to your diet will fortify and strengthen bones, making them less likely to break. A clinical study done exclusively on Dr. O'Hara's probiotics found that women and men who took Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for at least 8 weeks had significantly increased bone density. The calcium we consume through milk and supplements is not always absorbed or used to build bone. In fact, without a healthy probiotic population in the gut, calcium can pass right through undigested. The nice thing about probiotics is that they are part of the original plan. They are supposed to be in the intestinal tract. As a doctor, I worry about depending on drugs that harden bone by slowing the normal remodeling process. But I can't think of a good reason not to have better digestion at any age.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, Spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Howard, back with you. I have just been tasting some cookies that Marty Whittakin left me, a little gift here. Gluten-free, crispy, crunchy chocolate chip cookies. It's a Trader Joe product, apparently, which we have now a brand new one in the Dallas area. And it's got, I don't know if we've got my, we need to if we haven't, the cookies, the cookie formula that I used on our website on DirtDoctor.com. And this formula, this recipe is pretty much the same as mine, except this has milk fat and soy lecithin in it, which I didn't use. And it's got natural flavor. That term always spooks me a little bit, because it can be a whole bunch of things. But it has the rest of the things that I used as well. Used sugar instead of honey, vanilla extract, baking soda, salt. It also used xanthan gum, and that's the one that will really crisp up the cookies that we talked about. And I'm trying to figure out a way to do it without putting that in the cookies, and I'm still experimenting with a few things. So we'll keep you posted on how the cookie recipe thing is going. But those are good as far as a store-bought cookie. It's great. No, they're gluten-free, no wheat or anything in them. I guess they didn't say they used almonds, so I'm not sure what they did use. Margaret in Centerville, Texas. Next up. Hi, Margaret.
Hello. I told him I wanted to ask two questions, please, but the first one was simple about you have spoken about acorns and telling the difference between the ones that are good and the ones that are bad. Is uh-huh. there a way to do that with pecans, knowing which ones to throw away and which ones not?
Let me think. Will a good pecan sink or float? That's a good question. I don't know if I've ever done that. Visually, you can tell pretty easily, though, Margaret, if they have some black discoloration and it looks like, you know, the kind of diseased.
Mm-hmm. Or a little hole.
If there's a hole, it's a clear loser. Mm-hmm. Throw it away. Yeah, crush it and throw it in the compost pile. The hole is a weevil, boring probably. And once that happens, they're goners.
Mm-hmm. But now, the water method, I didn't know whether that should be attempted or not.
I don't know. It's a good question. I haven't done that with pecans. We need to give it a try and see how it works. I'm thinking that both will probably float, but we need to – somebody okay. out there has got some right now, and you do, so let's just try it and see whether it works or not.
Okay. Well, no, I was going to tell – someone else brings them, but I was going to try to help. Okay, that we'll try it and see. The other thing is, and I've asked you a very long time ago when I first became aware of it, about the possibility of growing sprouts, specifically for horses, but for any livestock, and I'm hearing more about it all the time because mm-hmm. of the difference in hay because of the drought. And do you know anything more about any, especially about anyone who has done it, and in Texas probably someone that I might contact or someone who might call in and tell you more about it? Someone
I don't, but I've got a bunch of contacts, you know, of friends that are in the ranching business, and I'm sure some of them know that, and mm-hmm. I've made a note of it here. I'll try to include it in the seminar we do, and in addition to bringing some information to the show, because it's
and
something
about the
I don't
grains,
know.
Grains that might be used, since corn is out, and I think wheat is used and rye is used possibly, and I've heard about something called triticale that's supposedly a combination between wheat and rye, but I know nothing about that.
Well, I don't know enough either, but I will look into it, and we'll get some more stuff for the show and for the seminar.
Okay. I would very much appreciate that.
And if you'll send me an email, just send it to...
I can't send email. I don't have a way to do that, but I can send you...
Send me a note. Just remind me about it, and I'll get back with you.
Or I'll have somebody else send you an email.
Okay.
We'll get your newsletter elsewhere.
That'd be great.
That'll be fine. I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. And next up is Blake in Louisville, Texas. Hey, Blake.
Yes, sir. I called you several weeks ago about my wife over watering the yard, and I had bowls on the post oak trees. But I heard earlier, I just got in, and I turned you on, and you were talking about something about injecting something into a tree. Was it neem oil or neem?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. One of my arborist buddies up in Boston actually brought the product to the market. It's called Azosol.
Yes, sir.
A-Z-A, capital S-O-L, Azosol. And it can be mixed into water and sprayed, or it can be injected into trees that are really sick with, you know, whatever, from oak wilt on down. And it's a great, great product. It's a little on the pricey side, but it works. It is really, really effective.
Well, I had 19 pines when I moved here. Now I'm down to 11.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, the ice storm, got it back in the 80s. And then I've just been losing one every year or two since then. And I've got two of them that's got the sap running out of them. So what do? Just drill a hole in it and put stuff in it?
Yeah, the arborists that do it have some specialized equipment, and More Tree Care and a couple of others are starting to get into it. There's information about the equipment on the website, which is called naturalorganicwarehouse.com. There's a hand device, and then there's a device where you drill and you connect hoses. It looks like the same technique, only it's a lot more technical than using the toxic chemicals people use for oak wilt. But it's all on naturalorganicwarehouse.com, all that information for you.
Another thing, I've got a compost.
Tell you what, let me put you on hold if you had something else. I got to take a little break here, and then I'll be back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The number to call is 866-444-3478. The website, dirtdoctor.com.